people such as Noah, to Abraham, some of the great stories in the Bible of when God spoke to an individual and through that individual things happened. Now that is fine as long as the individual first hears God and then second actually acts on what he hears. The story of Noah would have kind of fallen a bit flat if he hadn't actually acted on what God told him to do and built an ark. Yeah. Much of the Old Testament is actually the story of people who couldn't hear or wouldn't hear. And if they did hear, they either couldn't or wouldn't act on it. When God speaks into our lives, things will happen as long as we hear and act on it. We can fail to hear, or we can mishear, or what I think I hear might not be the same as what you think you hear. But in the Bible, we all have the same reference point. We can all hear exactly what God has spoken. We've got it in writing. It's in black and white. We can't go wrong in hearing God through his word. The title I've been given this morning is Listen and Do. And that particular form of words takes us straight to the letter of James. I would like you to turn to James. This is the main passage we'll be looking at this morning. This is, if you like, the main course. And in verse 22 of James chapter 1, the NIV reads, "Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do not merely listen, but do. Listen and do." Okay, so that's our theme for this morning. But while you're still finding James chapter 1, let me just tell you that this title has given me two problems, two particular personal challenges. First of all, I remember somebody saying not very long ago, we won't get any kind of meaningful encounter with Jesus by our own actions. Our relationship with Jesus is not about what we do. Now, I remember that, and I remember it quite specifically because it was me who said it when I last preached here back in June. Our relationship with Jesus is not about what we do. And now I've got to preach on listen and do. I'm going to park that for the moment. I'll come back to it later, I promise. The other problem that I have with this listen and do title is that it does take us to the letter of James. And while I absolutely love the letter of James, it's full of good practical stuff and fantastic teaching. But normally, if I'm looking at what a particular scripture is saying, I look for context. And James doesn't do context. You know, by the time he gets to verse 22, our target verse, he's already talked about being joyful in trials, praying in faith, the value of humility, the danger of riches, resisting temptation, suppressing anger, avoiding wickedness, probably a few other things as well. And that's just in the first 21 verses. Very difficult to actually grab hold of a context there. But thankfully, by the time he mentions the word of God in verse 22, he has already slipped in two other references to the word of God. So I make that three references. That gives me 3 points. And if I can make those three things start with the same letter, I've got a sermon. Let's see what we can do. Right, I'm going to read James chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 16. See if you can find the 3 points. James 1, verse 16. "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift And every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Okay. Did you catch the three references to the word? The first one we find is in verse 18, where we read, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. He brought us forth. Here we have a reference to God initially saving us. God saves us by his word. Now, I said earlier, when God speaks, things happen. Just as when he first spoke life into being, back in Genesis chapter 1, it's also the word of God that brings about new life, the new birth. If you just turn over a few pages to the first letter of Peter, 1 Peter, and in chapter 1, verse 23, Peter kind of makes the same sort of point and just fleshes it out a little bit more. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, he says, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. So point one that James brings us and Peter fleshes out is that God saves us by his word. If you recognize yourself as a born again child of God, it's because he has already spoken into your life and something amazing has already happened. When God speaks, things happen. Without the work of God, that his word has already done in your life, you would still be, as Peter puts it, withering grass and falling flowers. Or as Paul writes to the Ephesians, you would be dead in your trespasses and sins. But God has spoken into your life and something amazing has happened. You are living, breathing proof that when God speaks, things happen. Now, we want to see new life in Whitstable Community Church, don't we? We want to see more people coming into God's family. That's why our vision states we are sharing our hope. And when we see new life, it will be because of God's word being planted and taking root and bringing that new life into being. Jeff reminded us a few weeks ago when he preached on sharing our hope, that we can do that with confidence because our confidence is based on the message, not our methods. And the message has been spoken by God himself. There's a verse in Hebrews, we'll look at it later, but just to start it off now, where the writer says the word of God is living and active. And the living word of God can bring about new life. If we're going to see new life, it will be by means of the living word of God. It's God's word alone that speaks life into being. God saves us by his word. James goes on to his next reference to the word. In verse 21, he writes, "Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Now, he is writing to people who have already been saved. He's calling them my beloved brothers. He's already talked about the word of God bringing forth life. So when he's talking about being saved here, he's talking about the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's what the Bible calls sanctification. So I can now say that as well as God saving us by his word, I can say God sanctifies us by his word. Sanctifying means to produce the righteousness of God. That's the phrase that James uses in verse 20. The anger of man does not do it, but the implanted word does. Okay. There is a go-to verse in 2 Timothy whenever anybody is preaching or teaching about the word of God, they have to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you might like to turn to that with me just to check that I'm reading it properly. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is well known, and it's fundamental to our view of what the word of God is and what it does. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 reads, "All scripture is breathed out by God," I referred to that earlier, "and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work." Our vision statement says we want to follow Jesus, which means we want to be close to him. We want to know him more. We want to obey him. We want to imitate him. We want to grow more like him. We want to produce the righteousness of God, as James says. Our vision statement also says we want to grow together. We want to display the fruit of the Spirit as a community. We want to live out the reality of being the body of Christ, producing the righteousness of God. And these things will happen, James says, as we receive with meekness the implanted word. That's because when God speaks, things happen. It's God's word that produces righteousness. So not only does God save us by his word, but God sanctifies us by his word. That's 2 points beginning with the same letter. What can we do with the third point? Verse 22 is where James talks about being doers of the word and not hearers only. And he actually goes on to say that reading the Bible is like looking at your face in a mirror. Let's just read what he actually says. James 1, verse 22. "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Looking at the Bible, reading the Bible is like looking at your face in a mirror. And what does a mirror do? It shows me what I look like. So third point is God shows us by his word. He shows us what we're like. Now, a mirror allows me to see myself as others see me. That's quite useful sometimes. It's also quite disconcerting sometimes. I can tell you it's very disconcerting preaching on Zoom and seeing myself as I preach to you. It's kind of unsettling. The Bible goes much further than just showing me what my face looked like and what my mannerisms look like when I'm preaching, because the Bible is God's revelation, isn't it? Rather than just mere human observation and opinion, it's an insight into how God sees things. It's an insight into what God is like. It's showing me God's perspective on me, God's perspective on other people, God's perspective on our church, on our nation, on our world. It's showing me God's perspective on the human condition. It's showing me God's perspective on the whole history of the universe. And it's not just a surface view like a mirror gives. I referred earlier to Hebrews 4, verse 12. And the word of God is living and active. Let me read on in that verse. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow. It discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That goes a bit further than just seeing your face in a mirror, doesn't it? It's penetrating. I heard somebody say recently, when we look at the Bible, when we read the Bible, it's not about us reading the words, but it's letting the word read us. And as we read and listen to the word of God, God shows us things, maybe things that we would kind of prefer not to see, but we do see, and we see who God is, and we see what he is like. But we also see things about ourselves through God's eyes. It might be something easily fixed, like a stray hair, I don't have many of them, or a dirty smudge on the face or something like that. Or it might be something that needs life-changing surgery as God's word penetrates right into my soul. Now, we've already seen how that works in practice, because we've already seen that we're saved by his word. And that happens because it's his word that shows me that from God's perspective, I'm a helpless, lost sinner, and I need the saving work of Jesus. His word tells me, I'm sanctified by his word, because his word tells me that from God's perspective, I am actually clothed with the righteousness of Christ, and the old sinful nature has no place in my life. You see, it's seeing things from God's perspective that means that I'm saved by his word, I'm sanctified by his word. And now we see that it's God showing us by his word, his perspective. So he saves us, he sanctifies us, and he shows us by his word. I promised that I would come back to the question of doing. We won't get any kind of meaningful encounter with Jesus by our own actions, said Keith Milne in June. James says, be doers of the word. Does our relationship with Jesus depend on what we do, or doesn't it? I would say go away and discuss, but maybe it won't. Now, James has already said that we are saved and sanctified by his word, not by our actions. But it goes further. Jesus told his disciples back in John 14, turn to that if I can find it quickly, John 14, Jesus said to his disciples in verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. We will do what God says. We will do what Jesus says because we love him. Why do we love him? In John's first letter, 1 John and chapter 4, John tells us why we love him. We love him, verse 19 of chapter 4, because he first loved us. Now, get the sequence here. We do what he says because we love him, and we love him because he loves us. So putting that together, we do because he loves. It is not he loves because we do. And that's where we see the distinction. We are doing as a response to the affection, to the favor, to the grace, to the love that he has already poured out on us. We are not doing in order to earn his love. And one final point, and I say that very loudly and very firmly, just in case you have drifted away, I'm hoping to snap you back, bring your attention back, because this is an important point. Doing what the Bible says is not a question of seeking out obscure commandments and struggling to follow them. I've been in church situations where people take great delight in finding rules about what Christians should and shouldn't do on a Sunday, or what head coverings women should wear in church, or is alcohol allowed? You know, finding commandments to follow and to impose as a burden on people. That is not what we're talking about when we talk about doing the word of God. Neither is it expecting and searching for specific instructions about life choices. Where should I live? What job should I do? What car should I have? Who should I marry? It's not there. We need to lift our eyes higher than that, because through the Bible, we are seeing through God's eyes. We're seeing in his own words what he's like, the person of God. We're seeing his sinless perfection. We're seeing his love for creation. We're seeing his perspective, what a rebellious creation looks like and feels like to him, a holy God. We're seeing his priority to bring glory to himself in all things. We're seeing his purpose, which is to save and to sanctify and to bring about a new creation. The challenge that James puts to us is this: will we see all that and then walk away and forget it? Or will it affect the way we live? Will it affect our perspective, our priorities, and our purpose? If it doesn't, James tells us we're deceiving ourselves. We're saying that we know better than God, that our view of things is more complete than his. But if it does change the way that we live, if it does change our perspective and priorities and purpose, well, I'm going to leave the last word with James, because the last verse, the last phrase that we read from him in verse 25, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The law of liberty, this is not meant to be a hardship. He will be blessed in his doing. God wants to bless us as he reveals his perspective to us, and wants us to live according to it so that we might be blessed. Let's pray. Father God, we want to be blessed. We want to be blessed as individuals. We want to be blessed as a church. Oh, Jesus, we already know what it is to be blessed by being saved by your sacrifice for us, and made aware of that through your word. Holy Spirit, we know the blessing of you sanctifying us through your word. And Father God, we want the blessing of seeing life from your perspective, seeing your priority, your purpose. Lord, we want to know the blessing of doing, but not so that we might earn your favor, but so that we might give you glory in our lives. Oh, Father, help us to do that, we pray. Amen.